sure. Oh, when I get this song going in the morning, Percy, the puny poinsettia, I know it could only mean one thing.
Hanging his bloom in dismay. If they had just kept him wetter, he'd be a houseplant today. Folks like the other plants better. Now he's alone on the shelf. Even a plant with no uncle or aunt shouldn't spend Christmas Day by himself. Holiday shoppers would stop.
You can put the headphones on, Charles. Go ahead. You can put them on there.
One at a time, all his friends were
so I got the Percy
alone.
The
puny.
Puny.
The puny poinsettia.
It's Dr. Elmo, you know, Elmo and Patsy from Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. That's another one of the stuff that he does there, too. He makes his appearance also on the House show with the Carey Brothers, too. He's friends with them, I guess, and so occasionally shows up on their Saturday morning Fix-It show. Well, here to fix our plant problems, Charles Benke, horticulturalist. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me, sending me that email and saying, come on over.
Right. I've occasionally called him and said, can you come this week? And he goes, well, I'm not even in the state of Ohio. I can't be there right now. That's the thing with cell phones. You never know where somebody might be.
Well, fortunate that he's in town today.
Yes. Now, we are in the middle still of fall. Winter does not arrive for a while, right? We still have
correct. We've got about 9 days, 9, 10 days left here. Let's see. About that much.
Oh, well. Okay.
About 9 days or so.
Don't expect me to do any math right now. I can't even
think with all those medications.
I'm not
predicated, medicated, right. Adjudicated. And
the only problem with bringing someone new in is that everybody goes, you don't sound too well. You look like that. I hope that doesn't happen. They start giving you all these subliminal symptom ideas.
Well, at least you aren't red looking, you know. You know, looking like your hair is, you know, have that electromagnetic look.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. Well,
yeah, you got that going on.
We want our poinsettias to be red looking, even though I guess you can buy them as blue, silver, and gray, and green, and any other color.
Yes, you can. While they're painted, those colors are painted out with sparkles, too, nowadays.
That would seem like hazardous and to it's a plant to paint a plant.
Well, it can be if you don't use the correct paint and solvent with it. There are special paints and solvents that they use to put that coloration on. Because one year, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, there was something wrong with the solvent, and it really toasted a lot of poinsettias.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Why do you need to color your poinsettia?
Match your decor.
It's gorgeous.
Well, you have to match your other. You know.
Yeah, you got to make them match the decor.
Yeah, you want red and green this year. You're going with the blue-silver kind of a thing, and you need some of those there as well. Now, Susie has a question on a poinsettia.
All right,
we're going to
so
get it right away without. I heard her.
So we're talking about putting the poinsettia outside. And you said?
That would not be a very good idea in this cold weather. They don't like it below about 40 degrees or so. And they kind of go into shock. In fact, if you are going to be purchasing one this week and moving it to your home, please make it your last thing that you purchase and move it in a warm car to a warm home and put it in a kind of a bright area in the house without cold air drafts or really hot air drafts also.
But what you can do, though, is you can nurture the poinsettia to last year-round, right?
Yes, you can. You can take it out during the summertime, typically about May 15th. They go outside. You might trim it back, let it regrow again, and some people have those that they've done that. And as long as you gave them the short day treatment, in other words, not turning on the lights at night, they would be coming into bloom. They start about September 29th when the flower bracts actually start.
Are poinsettias toxic to animals?
No, they've done a lot of work on that many, many years ago, and no, they're not. You'd have to eat an awful lot of them. I don't think most people would want to eat them because of that nice white sap that's in them. If you've ever noticed that, that's around in some other things in plants in this area, like milkweed, and if you have noticed another weed is called spurge, it's kind of a bleh. Kind of yucky tasting thing, but
so the
not
animals
poisonous.
Just now, naturally.
Are there any other holiday plants though that may impact our pets, or they might be?
Well, one mistletoe for one thing, especially the berries on the mistletoe. Mistletoe doesn't naturally grow around here; it's actually imported from the southern states and brought up here. It grows in trees and things like that. But the berries on mistletoe are quite poisonous, so we'd want to keep away from that. Also, if you'd happen to purchase a plant called Jerusalem cherry. The cherries, they're kind of little red cherries. They can be poisonous to animals. And then thinking further ahead with other maybe pets at this time of the year, make sure you stay away from things like macadamia nuts, avocados with your animals, grapes and raisins with your animals.
Wait, you just
especially
said,
dogs
you
cats.
Said avocados injure animals?
Yes, they can. So don't go feeding those.
Well, how? Yeah. How does it? Is the avocado itself toxic?
Yeah, it is. When animals eat it, it isn't to us, but it is to animals.
Oh, I thought maybe when the big nut thing in the middle of the avocado hits them on the
right.
head. Because I
did
that before, yes. Dropped that sort of thing. What about, let's go out and looking for Christmas trees. I've seen people coming
Yeah, they're
back.
Out there. I've noticed quite a few. There's kind of split into three kind of categories. You can either get the pine trees, or you can get the spruce trees, or you can get the fir trees. The firs are split into things like balsam fir, Fraser fir, maybe Canaan fir, or there's another one called noble fir. Those are the ones with the soft needles, and most people like those because they're not, you know, you put your fingers against them and they don't prick you and all that sort of type stuff. Whereas if you get into the spruce trees, and the common one is like the Colorado blue spruce, or you might get a white spruce or a Norway spruce, they have kind of the prick, they're short needles, but they're pricky, but the branches are nice and stiff, so they hold on to the balls and
ornaments,
all that stuff,
yeah,
ornaments
sure.
that you hang onto the tree and all that sort of type thing. And the pines, generally have the pine trees, like Scotch pine is kind of a shorter needled pine, but there's also other longer needled pines. And like say you get a white pine that has really wimpy type branches, but it's got really soft needles on it. So it's all up to you.
Are there any tips for keeping the tree fresh, besides watering it, of course?
Right. Remember to after you buy it, make sure you recut the bottom end of the tree and then set it in fresh water and make sure you keep adding water to that. And then, you know, keep it in the house only for like this, you know, 10-day period that it is in, and then get it back outside again when you are done with it. Once it starts dropping needles, it becomes quite dangerous.
Well, let's get us back to the place where we're picking up the tree. What are tips to select one that'll, you know, work well for us?
Kind of nice, yes. First of all, trees are graded in either grade A or kind of grade B. And the grade B type usually has one side or one area that is kind of missing. And those are fine because you can often, most trees are stuck in the corner anyway. Right. You know, so you don't need to see that one quarter side that might have a bad side to it. Kind of like that tree that was in New Jersey or wherever it was that they were making fun of, you know, it was an ugly tree.
Right.
That was ugly all over, though.
No, that was a Norway spruce. It just had lost a branch and it had a deformity.
It was a little droopy.
All it needed was some ornamentation, and it looked very fine.
Yes, extra tinsel and garland, and you can cover up any
love.
It's like makeup for a tree, is what.
When you're checking out a tree, make sure just flex the needles with your fingers. They should be flexible, and you might just shake the tree, see if a lot of needles fall out. If a lot of needles are falling, it's a really dry tree, and you probably don't want it.
I can make sure you're not bringing in extra guests.
Generally, trees. You're not, okay. But it could have possibly occurred, but generally not. It happens, but it's very unusual.
All right, let's talk about some of the things that we can do as far as gifts for maybe somebody who's.
Oh yeah, those gardeners. I'm thinking of those kind of people too once in a while. My favorite things, don't forget all the tools. You know, at this time you go to the garden centers and a lot of stores, they have all those things hidden. But you might, one, get a gift certificate, but remember that there are all the gardening tools that are available, you know, the big heavy-duty, you know, if you want a rototiller or mower and all that kind of larger equipment.
Chainsaw,
weed whip, and all those great things that can go out there. But don't forget some of the little things, too, like trowels. And if you have some people that are challenged with arthritis, I was looking on the internet the other day. There are arthritic tools, or the tools aren't arthritic, but for arthritic people, adaptive tools, I guess that would be the word, for people who have a bad case of arthritis that they can do gardening with. So you might look at those. And
that's a great idea.
They're kind of... They're just formed differently, and so that you can use different muscles to work things with. Pruning tools are always good, and some of the sharpening equipment might be something else that would be worthwhile getting a gardener. And don't forget the gardening books that are out there, too.
Yeah, and a good set of gloves is always handy.
Yeah, yes. I just bought a bunch of gloves the other day. I like those ones with those little rubber...
The little nubby things
the little nubby things on it. And some of them that are rubberized, especially early in the spring, because when you get into wet stuff, it's always, you know, you get cold fingers and wet.
Right.
And, yeah.
So that helps you out there. Well, if you're getting out, your compost pile is still active at this time. I've seen people who do that. Maybe there's still a chance to put some of the leaves in there. Or if I've seen even people do some grass clipping, grass cutting.
I was doing that about a week and a half ago. I actually ran the lawn, kind of the vacuum cleaner part of the lawnmower out over the lawn, picked up the material, brought it to the – actually, I put it on top of the rose bushes to kind of protect them. But I do have a compost pile in the backyard. I've been out there, fluffed it up twice already just to get that bacterial action going. It's actually steaming. If you've built the compost pile and it's up as high as kind of which is about four or five feet, it has steam in it. It's cooking.
Apologies to people eating breakfast.
No, this is the biological processes that are
compost.
Going on.
But
compost for your garden that will be ready next spring. It should actually be ready by late March, early April next year.
He calls it black gold, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Black gold.
Yeah, right. What about as far as maybe just a last minute cleanup? I know when I was putting some of the decorations on the shrubs, I'm thinking I should probably trim back. All those hostas have died down. There's just that stuff there, or there's branches that have fallen.
Right, especially if there's if there's fallen branches or broken branches, get those out. The major pruning you might want to do late February or March after we've gotten through possibly extremely cold weather. I don't know what the polar vortex is going to do this year, but last year certainly there was a lot of injury out there. And we had this cold spell here in November when it got down to 10 already, about mid-November. I was out in Arizona at that time, suffering in the 92-degree heat. But here the plants were suffering at, 10. And they may have not gotten shut off. And again, we might see injury possible by next spring with that cold spell.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all I got. Susie, anything else for the...
No, I'm going to have to rethink my poinsettia, my whole poinsettia thing
why don't
now.
You,
so.
Why don't you
alternative to that for the red, as I said earlier when I was talking to you off air.
What was the answer?
Is the winterberry. That's cut stems.
It's not what you said. What was the thing you told her when she said?
They're going to be dead if you put them outside now.
If I don't want to get winterberry, you told me to go ahead and buy...
plastic poinsettias.
Plastic poinsettias, right.
Killing me, Charles.
Or, lifelike things.
They're lifelike.
They look
pretty good.
Lifelike. I mean, it's not like there's no...
But
aroma.
Don't leave them up all year. That's the important thing. Out on your...
Plastic poinsettias,
yes.
Leave them up all year.
Don't leave them up all year. Yeah, there should be a song like that. If you buy your plastic poinsettias, don't leave them up all year.
Yeah.
Or they'll melt in the sun and...
When you have those plants that you have to dust, that's the, remember?
Time to get a
in your house plants. You got to start paying attention to your house plants these days.
Right. If you want to dust your house plants, take them into the shower with you.
Okay, then.
Well, that's your Friday night for it.